Yeah? I'm a big believer, as some found out this week, that when you step out for Jesus, you should be applauded, you should be encouraged, you should be lifted up, you should be guarded. Amen. So if you're here and you're one of the older people in the place, man, we should be applauding this and guarding these kids and helping them grow and nurture in the Lord. Amen. He's given them great talent. They're using it for Him. And what a privilege we have to help and encourage and help them become everything that God intended them to be. Amen. One thing my boys always heard growing up, and literally probably 10,000 times, that's no exaggeration, walk in your calling. If you look at the Bible and you study our Bible from top to bottom, you will find that when someone walks out of their calling, when someone steps outside of what God intended for them to do, they failed. They failed. Whether it be David, David was a warrior king. He chose to stay home. And what happened? Huh? One example of many. All right. So we have every opportunity to lift these kids up and to make a difference in their lives and applaud them and their efforts. And we appreciate that this morning. Appreciate everybody here this morning. See some people back from Friends Sunday, and we're happy about that. Some of you have been talking with through the week and everything, and we're just excited that you're here and you felt welcome. And we have the opportunity to minister Jesus to you and help Him become real and alive in your life and everything else. I do want to say real quick, we are thrilled to have Gina and Anita with us this morning. This is Kevin's family. They're here from D.C., right? D.C. area? Yep. Yeah. We are, I know it means a lot to Kevin to have him here this morning, so it means a lot to me that they're here this morning. And we just want you to feel welcome and loved and hope that you do and everything else and mind the Lord and His ability to work in your life this morning. Okay. I should preach, right? Or just keep talking. Yeah, I probably should. So they asked me about a title for this morning, and I don't know. I don't know that there's really much of a title, but what I do want us to... I have something on here I want to read. But I do think we are in a place and a time in our lives where we are constantly divided among us. Again, I'm not just talking politics, right? No-brainer, right? We can look at anything today and see that we're divided as a people with regards to politics. That's not even my concern, amen, because I believe God holds that in His hands. Now, I believe my way, you believe your way, that's fine. But we're divided there, okay? But what I'm more concerned about is the fact that we have become divided as religious followers, right? And I chose that word appropriately because I think sometimes we get caught up in religion and we get caught up in the things that religion does and we lose sight of where we should be and how we should walk, right? Our purpose of being here this morning is about Jesus. And if that purpose is anything else, if we get lost in stuff, and there's stuff we're not going to agree on 110%, but we should be focused on Jesus Christ and His ability to work in your life, right? The real fact of that is there's not going to be a single marriage healed with opinions, right? A marriage will be healed when they come to what God has called them to in the marriage state. Right? There's not a single person in addiction who's going to be healed or delivered by opinions. Right? It takes the body and the person and the blood of Jesus Christ to make that difference. Right? And so what we are called to is we are called to a place where Jesus becomes foremost in someone's life. Right? Our pursuit of church and religion and all of the fundamentals and traditions and everything that gets wrapped up into that, our pursuit of all of that should be Christ-centered. Amen? We can get lost in a lot of stuff. We can hurt a lot of people. Amen? And those of you who were here last week and it's been out on Facebook and whatever, those of you who were involved in that, you saw that I made an apology for the body of Christ. Why? Because a lot of people have been hurt by the church because we lost our way concerning Jesus Christ. Right? Everyone that Jesus was told not to touch, everyone that was Jesus was told was taboo in Scripture, we've largely become the same way today. And that's sad, right? It's scary, that our hearts have become so hardened and impious in who we think we are that we forget about who Jesus is and what Jesus did. Amen? Did he touch the leper? You better believe he did. Amen? Did he draw the line in the sand when the woman was caught in the act of adultery? Amen? That scene was probably rated R if it was on TV. Amen? Because I imagine she was there naked. Amen? Drug out into the street and thrown down, ready to have her skull crushed. And Jesus said, not on my watch. Not on my watch. And so we lose sight of what Jesus came to do because we get so caught up in so many things. And a guy I've had the pleasure of meeting a few times over life and talked to back and forth, he wrote a song a few years back, and it says this. And I want to start here this morning, and then we're going to jump into the scriptures. It says, what this world needs... Let me do this. This will help tremendously. Hey, there we go. All right. What this world needs is not another one-hit wonder with an axe to grind, another two-bit politician peddling lies, another three-ring circus society. What this world needs is not another sign-waving super saint that thinks he's better than you, another ear-pleasing candy man afraid of the truth, another prophet in an Armani suit. What this world needs is a savior who will rescue. Jesus. Amen. What this world needs is a Savior who will rescue, a Spirit who will lead, a Father who will love them in their time of need. A Savior who will rescue, a Spirit who will lead, a Father who will love. That's what this world needs. What this world needs is for us to care more about the inside than the outside. Have we become so blind that we can't see? God's got to change your heart before he changes a shirt. What this world needs is for us to stop hiding behind our relevance, blending in so well that people can't see the difference. And it's the difference that sets the world free. People aren't confused by the gospel. We need to grab onto this. I remember the first time I heard this song. We need to grab onto this. People are not confused by the gospel because the gospel is simple. The gospel is direct and the gospel is born in love. They're confused by us. Jesus is the only way to God. But we are not the only way to Jesus. Amen. Heard someone say this week, a message that I was watching that took place down in Texas. I was listening to a message, and the guy speaking that message, he said this. He said, let me tell you what, we keep going the way we're going as the church, and Jesus is going to bypass us to get people into heaven. I was like, whoa, that'll preach. That'll preach. But Jesus is not, we are not the only way to Jesus. This world does not need my tie, my hoodie, my denomination, or my translation of the Bible. They need Jesus. We can be passionate about what we believe, but we can't strap ourselves to the gospel because we're slowing it down. Jesus is going to save the world, but maybe the best thing we can do is get out of his way. What this world needs is a Savior who will rescue. A Spirit who will lead, a Father who will love them in their time of need. A Savior who will rescue, a Spirit who will lead, a Father who will love. That's what this world needs. Amen. And as I was thinking about this message and I was directing my thoughts, the Lord brought that song to my heart. That was written by John Mark Hall, who is the lead singer of Casting Crowns, if you didn't pick up on it as I was reading it to you. And he was driven, if I remember the story correctly, he was driven to write that song after speaking to a group of young people. And that's kind of why this all came to me for this morning, because I was hoping we'd have a lot of teens here. He was driven to write that song after singing and speaking to a group of teenagers. And after the services that day, I don't know how it was exactly orchestrated, but after the services that day, they had like a round table where he actually went into a room and he sat down on a chair and they got to ask him questions and he got to sow and feed into their lives and everything else. And he said, it was overwhelming to me that when I asked simple biblical questions on how they could live a life full of peace and full of joy and full of the power of Jesus Christ, that none of them could give me a good answer. They could all tell me this rule and this tradition and this and that and the other and blah, 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 blah. But none of them could really tell me how to find peace, joy, and power in Jesus Christ. And he said, I sat up all night bothered by that and frustrated by that. And that's where this song ultimately came from, was that experience in that moment. Friend, we have a great responsibility where we are drawn to a place of power and drawn to a place of hope and drawn to a place where Jesus Christ makes the difference in our lives. Amen? So if we focus in on the scripture this morning, I want to say this to our teens and help them to understand that we, if I can find my paperclip here, we are called to a place of power. And that power exists not in me, okay, not in you, not in our talents, not in our abilities, but that place exists in Jesus Christ. And Paul said it this way, and I would encourage you to grab onto this. Let no man, in 1 Timothy 4, verses 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, and neglect not the gift that is in you. Neglect not the gift that is in you. Amen. So many times, I remember being in a service one time. It was a youth camp service, and it was similar to what I just described, and we were all sitting there, and we were talking about things, and I brought up something that I had been taught since I was a young kid and everything, and I'll never forget the guy leading that said, that's not in the Bible. That's not Bible. I was blown away. I mean, I was taken back. I was astounded. What do you mean? You know, I had all these Sunday school teachers and all these people and all this and that and the other. And so I was torn up, man. And I remember when that youth camp was over, I ran to my pastor and I said, man, they said this. And my pastor stood there for a long time and he said, I think he's right. He said, off the top of my head, I can't think of any place that exists in Scripture. And he said it was probably formulated a long time ago as a way to, you know, protect the church and protect the gospel. And it's been transitioned through the years and become something that people believe is necessary when it's really not. And to me, it just lines up perfectly with that song. And so what I say in all of this, I say to you this morning, guys, is to know that if there is calling on your life, you walk in it. Right? Don't neglect it. Don't walk away from it. And by no means let anyone despise you, ignore you because of your youth. God can move with power in your life from this moment. As a guy who accepted a calling to preach at 20 years old and a lot of guys wrinkled their forehead and scrunched their nose at, I'm here to tell you that you will run into that, but you walk through it. You walk through it hand in hand with Jesus and let Him do powerful things in your life. Now, we have to understand how that works, right? We can't defiantly say, I'm doing this for Jesus, and be super worldly and super crappy in our attitudes and our dispositions and our mannerisms and everything else, and then claim Jesus. It doesn't work like that, right? Paul tells us it doesn't work like that. Paul says, give attendance to these things. And he listed those things out. And he said, follow this, live by this, give yourself to it, right? And as we give ourselves to the things of God, guess what happens? God begins to see your desire to walk in Him. God begins to see your desire to live like Him. God begins to see your desire to think like Him. And when He sees that, He says, you know what? I'm going to show up and I'm going to supply the power. I'm going to show up and I'm going to supply the victory. I'm going to show up and I'm going to supply the Spirit. I'm going to show up and I'm going to supply what you can't. Amen. Last night we were talking, and a couple of them, they did great during rehearsal, but a couple of them were like, I'm so nervous, and everything else like that. And I said, look. I said, here's the best way to get rid of nerves. Prepare. Put in the work. Don't wing it. Put in the work. Prepare. Amen. Do it for the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Make it all about Him, nothing else. Don't make it about popularity. Don't make it about fame. Don't make it about anything else. And if He wants you to have popularity and fame, honey, He'll give it to you. Amen. He'll give it to you, and He'll give it to you with power and authority out of heaven and not power and authority from this earth. Amen. The power and authority from this earth will fade away. It'll crash. It'll be crumbling sand. Amen. But the power and authority that comes to heaven over your lives will anoint you and empower you to do the things that scrunch their nose up at you could never do. Could never do. Amen. And I want you to receive it. I want you to walk in it. Amen. Not just these kids. I know I'm kind of centering this over here, but this is for everybody. Amen. You pursue Jesus in your life. You make Jesus the point of your life. You give attendance to the things that His Word says to give attendance to, and not the garbage that's out there, but give attendance to Him, and the power of His glory and His might will go before you. And you will overcome your enemies. You will overcome the very things of this world that stand in opposition to the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. That power is real. That power will do amazing things, but it's not just going to show up when you're desperate. It's not just going to show up when you need to prove a point. It's not just going to show up when you decide to be holy. It shows up when you put in the work, and it shows up when you show God that you are living for His glory and His purpose in this life. That's when He says, you know, Scripture is like, where two or three are gathered. Amen. You want to know why we don't have many Pentecost moments today? It's because there's not a whole lot gathered together in His name, in one mind and in one purpose. Amen. We divide ourselves from day one, whether it be the things we wear, whether the things we do, the things we talk about, the places we go. We divide ourselves from the minute. God ain't going to Pentecost us with that mindset. God's not going to move with power and glory in that atmosphere. He says, no, if there's only two gathered in my name, if there's only two focused on me, that's where I'll show up. That's where I'll bring power. That's where I'll send the might of heaven to do heavenly things, is where those come together for my purpose and for my glory. Amen? So what does that say to me and you? That says to me and you, we need to get self out of the way. We need to get worldliness out of the way. We need to get opinions out of the way. And what do we need to do? We need to focus on Jesus. Amen? We don't come to that mind and spirit any other way except Jesus Christ. He tells us there's no other way except through Him. Amen? You're not going to get to heaven without the cross. Well, you're not going to get to the cross without Jesus. Amen? And if you're going to come to the cross through Jesus Christ, then that means everything He did, walking in those sandals here on this earth with no place to lay His head, everything about Him is what you need to be about. Everything He walked in, everything He did, every touch He made, every tradition He stepped over top of, man, that is the lifestyle we are called to. Amen? He got in a lot of trouble and ultimately got put on a cross because He chose to do the will of heaven over the will of man. And so what we find ourselves to is we find ourselves challenged to walk in that place. Not our place. Amen? Not man's place, but in that place. The place where Jesus walked. The decisions and the choices Jesus made, the changes to people's lives that Jesus did. Amen? And we see the confusion, we see the overwhelmingness of this by the disciples, the ones closest to Jesus. Amen. A time and time again they failed and they fluttered. Amen. Because they were trying to remember from the things they had been taught or learned, and this and that and the other. And Jesus' way was so compelling and so different than that. That they were like, we don't get it. And again, Jesus said, you know, how many times must I suffer you? Right? Follow me. Follow my example. Do the things I do. They tried to heal a man that was brought to them. And they emulated. What does that mean? It means they falsely pretended to be Jesus. They emulated everything he did. Well, remember when he spat in the mud? Let's do that. Well, remember when he raised his hand like this? Let's do that. Well, remember when... And so they copied everything they had seen Jesus do, except the things that drew Jesus into the presence of the Father. Right? Jesus responded to them and said, such things come. It doesn't come by my hand here, and it doesn't come if I jump up and down, and it doesn't come if I do this. It doesn't come when I wear the red coat. Amen? I had a preacher walk into a service one time and everything. I said, it's going to be a good one. God's glory is going to come down. I said, yeah, why? And everything. I was waiting for some big spiritual scripture moment, right? He said, because I got my red coat on. I was like, oh, man, I'm going home. Huh? I'm going home. Red coat theology. Huh? Listen, now, I mean, he's a good guy. We're good friends still to this day. But I'm like, seriously, dude, red coat? That's how we know it's going to be a good service? How much did you pray? How much did you fast? How much time did you spend in the Word? How much time did you show God that you want to be enriched by His Spirit and His power and His ability to work in your life? Amen. This is important. This is important because this world will lead us astray. Here's what Jeremiah says in the 17th chapter. My glasses are all fogged up. Oh, this could be interesting. Here's what Jeremiah says in the 17th chapter, starting at verse 5. He says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm. What does that say? It says, man, go straight to the source. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus, go to the source, amen. Surround yourselves by good spiritual people. Surround yourselves by people who go to the source, amen. But don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in the things man do. Because, you know, you could end up like me in that youth camp moment where I'm like trying to live what I had been taught all my life only to find out that it was never really in the Bible the way I'd been taught it, amen. And that situation wasn't, you know, that wasn't heaven or hell type situation, but what if it was? What if that was a heaven or hell based decision, and I'm basing off of someone's opinion rather than the Word of God? Amen. Jeremiah tells us here that we should walk according to Jesus and not man. And whose heart departeth from the Lord. What does that mean? It means the more we focus on the things of the flesh, the more we focus on the things that aren't of God and have no power and no authority in heaven, the longer we focus on those things, we'll begin to accept those things, we'll begin to walk in those things will begin to become part of who we are and we'll remain separated from God because of it. And so we're called to this place where we don't depart from the Lord, but instead we seek Him and we desire Him. Verse 6 says, for He shall be like the heath in the desert. A heath is like some really small vegetation in the middle of the desert that has no substance whatsoever. It's vegetation, but it's just kind of there and it has no worth. It has nothing to benefit you. It's just kind of stuck there so it doesn't grow. It doesn't bloom. It doesn't do anything. It's just desolate. And what Jeremiah is saying to us is, if we choose to pursue the things of man rather than the things of God, we're going to be like something that's sitting in a desert, surrounded by a whole lot of heat, that has no worth. Has no worth. And he's calling us to more. He's calling us to bigger. Amen. So Jeremiah gives us that warning. He goes on to say, and shall not see when good cometh. Now that's sad. To me it seems sad that when you can't see the good and the power that God is moving in, and you're so caught up in self and vainglory and garbage that you don't see it. That you can't walk in it, that you can't feel it, that you can't experience it. Amen? That is Satan in his fullness. Amen? And he is choosing to isolate you in a place where God's authority has no purpose and power over your life. And it's frightening. It's frightening how easy so many fall into that. and shall not even see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Here's the converse of everything I just read. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. How many of us like tangible things? Huh? I've shared with you on several messages that I'm an extremely logical person. I'm a math major, so you know I'm all about the math and I'm all about the logic, and this adds up, this adds up, this doesn't add up, and this and that and the other. I'm gonna be honest with you. My logic and Jesus, man, they butt heads all the time, right? There are so many things that have happened powerfully in my life that when I looked at them on paper and I looked at them from a rational, logical point of view, they made zero sense. Zero sense. And it taught me to quit trusting on me. Amen. What did Jeremiah say in the beginning? Don't rely on man. Well, I'm a man. I can rely on myself way too much. I can listen to my own logic and my own thoughts and my own opinions way too much. Amen? And then that becomes my strong arm. And if my strong arm is weak based upon its preface in the Word of God, then there's nothing to stand on. And there I am in parched ground. There I am in the heath of the desert. Amen? Just blowing in the wind without anything to offer. Amen? Without anything to offer. Amen. Jeremiah is challenging us to go further than that. Jeremiah is challenging us to go further than that. He said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, meaning Jesus is first. Jesus is first. And whose hope the Lord is. Amen. God's going to do unbelievable things through his might and power in your life when he's number one. Amen. And then what will happen is you will begin to grow in faith and you will begin to grow in hope and everything else. Last night, We left the rehearsal here and we went home and we had a little bit of Bethany strawberries left and we decided we were going to have strawberry shortcake this afternoon because tomorrow we're going to hit the keto hard and heavy again so I can get the rest of my weight off. Amen? That was the plan. So we're sitting there and we're cutting up some butternut squash and stuff to go with our roast and everything else for today and everything else. And all of a sudden, our stove makes this ridiculous, loud, grinding noise. And then poof, sparks flew and smoke just began to roll out of it. So immediately, you know, we like pull it out and we get to a place to where it was safe enough to unplug it and everything else. And that was basically, it was a good show, but that was basically all that happened. No fire, no nothing to fear for our lives or anything else like that. So I kind of sat back down on the stool beside of Sam where we were when it was all going on. And we both just kind of looked at each other and went, right? Whatever. It's a stove. We'll figure it out. We have microwaves, we have crock pots, we have a grill, you know, we'll survive. We'll survive. Now, I could have got ticked. I could have got mad. I could have been blaming and screaming at the guy we bought our house from because these were supposed to be brand new appliances, and I could have thrown a little me fit and had my little temper tantrum and everything else and felt, yeah, you got it, Dan. Felt big and bad at myself and everything else like that and whatever. What would that have accomplished? Huh? What it would have done was it would have shown I had very little spiritual maturity. That's what it would have accomplished. It would show that my trust wasn't in God. It would have shown that my hope wasn't in Jesus Christ. It would have shown that I am so easily rattled by something as insignificant as that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand. I've got to figure out how to pay for a new one and do all of that and everything else. But, whatever. You know, we just kind of looked at each other. And I was like, we'll figure it out. Right? Because why? Number one, I was excited about this morning. And I didn't want to let a stupid stove ruin that for me. Right? I'm excited about what Jesus is going to do in every life in this place. And I didn't want to let a stove ruin that. Amen? I'm excited about where you're going in this life. And I want to be the guy patting you on the back and cheering you on. Amen? And if I'm caught up in something stupid, I am not doing that well. Amen. Someone made a comment to me last week about this is kind of my vision. This is where I see, you know, God wants me, and this is my calling and everything else. And so I prayed about it for a couple days, and I sent an email, and I said, hey, when this settles down for you, I want this to happen. And her husband kind of joked with me and everything else. He's like, man, if I've learned anything, I've learned not to cast my vision in front of you. Right? What does that mean? That means that if you speak out what God's doing in your life, and I pray about it, and he speaks to me, and we bear witness on that, I'm going to put you up here with a microphone in your hand. Amen. I'm going to let you come and sing. I'm going to let you teach. I'm going to let you do the things that God is calling you to do. Why? Because of what I said in the very beginning. Walk in your calling. Do the things that God has laid on your life to do and be. Why? Because I know that's what you were created for. That's what you were created for. That was the purpose God gave in you. He goes on. Let me get back to the word. He says, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. And this is one of my favorite verses, probably top five. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and he that spreadeth her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Oh, come on. That is a promise of God that should slap us silly. Huh? I mean it, man. That is the word of God come from his prophet to say to you and I that when we choose to plant ourselves in him, when we choose not to give ourselves to opinions, we choose not to give ourselves to the things of this world, but we choose to be focused on him, we choose to seek and pursue his glory. You want to know why the disciples couldn't heal that kid? They couldn't heal that kid because they were too busy faking Jesus instead of seeking Jesus. They were faking him. They were emulating him. They were playing Jesus. Amen. Just like we play fireman and policeman and cowboy and Indian and everything else when we're kids, right? They were playing Jesus. And they'd never really brought themselves to a point in the place that they were seeking him. You say, how do you know that, Jay? I know it because how Jesus responded to him. He said, the reason you couldn't do this is because it comes by much what? Practice? No. Because it comes from much money? You know? No. What did he say? It comes from prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Putting off yourself and showing Jesus you are serious about becoming more like him, about doing the things of heaven, about being a light in this world. Jesus says, that's why you couldn't heal him. You were too busy playing me instead of being me. You were too busy pursuing the things you saw rather than pursuing the unseen. Oh, Jesus. Huh? You didn't hear me. They weren't pursuing the unseen power and the unseen glory that God brings into our life. That's why they couldn't heal him. Amen? Jesus promises us to us right here that if we plant ourselves in him, meaning we plant ourselves in a place where we are nourished by him, where we are guided by him, where his word feeds us and nourishes us and draws us into his presence, we come to a point and a place that, man, there's no wind. There's no drought. There's no dry places that can touch us. Amen? You want to know why we dry up? Because we move away from God. We move away from God in our thinking. We move away from God in our actions. And we begin to behave as the world rather than pursuing the behavior of Christ in our life. Amen? That's what Jeremiah is laying down to us here. That's what Jeremiah is saying to us here. He's telling us to pursue God, plant ourselves in Jesus Christ, and let Jesus Christ be the one who does a work in us. And then he goes on to explain why it's important for Jesus to be number one. Amen? He goes on to say, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart of man, not your blood pumper. Not your blood pumper, but kind of the combination of your mind and your desires and your spirits, that heart of man, that essence of what drives your decisions and that essence of what makes you be who you are, makes you say the things that you do, makes you present your own aura out there. Amen. Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful. I mean, he's already preluded that when he said not to follow man, not to lean on the arm of man. Amen. What he's telling us is that our heart can be driven by evil and bad things. And he tells us, and it goes on in other scriptures, to tell us from our birth, the heart is evil. From our birth, the heart is evil. Well, now, wait a minute, Jay. When I come to Jesus, they say, give your heart to him. Exactly. Exactly. The only way Jesus is going to move and work in your life, the only way Jesus is going to make a difference in you and move you into the power of his glory is when you take that evil heart and you lay it in front of him and you say, I want this. I want my essence. I want my aura. I want my being to glorify you. I want the things I say to glorify you. I want the things I do to glorify you. I want everything to be consumed and wrapped up in you so much, Jesus, that I'm doing what you want and not even caring about what I want. Amen? And that's when we are drawn into a place where God's power will begin to move and work in our life. And friend, I'm here to tell you, I could embellish this all day long with 1,000 stories, but I won't do that to you. I've seen some crazy things. I've seen things that if you told me I were going to be part of those things, I would have laughed at you and said, ain't ever going to happen with this guy. Amen? But because I chose to put him first, because I chose to seek him, because I spent time in prayer and I spent time fasting and I spent time in the Word, not because of me, but because of him choosing to work through me, man, I've seen some crazy stuff. I've seen healings. I've seen people delivered. I've shared stories with you about drunkards walking into the church during the middle of a revival and coming and falling on the altar, stinking, smelling of puke and pee and booze, and standing up. And not only were they sober in their right mind, but they stood up and they didn't smell anymore. Amen. I've been there. I've seen God do these things. Amen. But he's not going to do it as the world does it. He's not going to do it as man does it. He's going to do it when we choose to walk in the unseen, when we choose to believe in the unseen, when our hope and our trust is in him, regardless. And we allow his word and his truth to guide us and change us. Amen? Man, there's a lot of things in God's word that when I read it, I'm like, oh, ow, man, that hurts. Right? And I got to fix that. I got to fix that. Amen? Now, I can play the self-righteous card that I'm above it, but the reality is if I want to walk in the presence of Jesus, if I want to emulate it, or if I want to play Jesus, I can fake it, amen, or I can choose to pursue it and seek it and allow it to make me a bigger, better person according to Jesus. The heart is deceitful above all things. That's the Word of God. And desperately, I mean, listen to Jeremiah, man. He's getting on it. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? What is he saying right there? He's saying it's chaotic. Man, you can't even begin to believe or think or see where the heart will take you. Amen? And what does that mean? You've heard the old adage for years, sin will take you further than you want to go. Here's where that's born out of. We can't see it. We can't think about it. It's chaotic. It's uncontrollable because it's so, so wicked. I, the Lord, search the heart. Here's what we need. Here's our warning. Okay, here's our warning. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Now, this doesn't, you know, that whole God knows my heart thing, that don't play so well with me. Amen? Because 9 times out of 10, the person saying that knows they're wrong, and they just don't want to be judged. So they try to bring that guilt on you. Amen? God knows my heart. Can't judge me. Everything else. Well, no, you judge yourself. You judge yourself. You present yourself before the Lord. You show. People see. People see. No one has to judge you. No one has to put labels on you. Amen? You walk it and people see it. And when you show who you are, people believe it. Right? People believe it. Our words, our actions, our deeds choose how people see us. Amen? I'm not so much worried about that as I am that we choose better. We choose better. Like Jeremiah says, we don't rely on our heart, we don't rely on flesh, we don't rely on man to be our driver. But we come into the presence of the Lord and we plant ourselves in Him. Amen. Now, I don't expect you to be a super Christian day one. Amen. I remember I was a youth pastor up in the Malden area for a while, and we were having a youth service on Wednesday night with 50, 60 plus kids from DuPont Middle and DuPont High School back in the Randy Moss days and everything else. And man, it was booming, man. I mean, we had more kids most of the time than they had in the Sunday morning church service on Wednesday night. And it was awesome, man. We were seeing God move. We were seeing great things happen and all of this. And what we found is that some grabbed on to Jesus. And some of those kids are preachers and pastors and youth leaders and all of these things today. Some grabbed on to the friendship and the emotion and grabbed on to the things that edified who they were in the flesh, but didn't really edify who they were in the spirit. A lot of those kids that I'm friends with them on Facebook, I still see them in life, I still love on them and everything else, but what I see in them is I see that they really want what the others got. They really want where the others are, but they choose to embrace the wrong things. And they asked me in the back what title to put on this when they put it out on the live thing and everything else. And I really didn't have a title, but I guess as it's kind of coming to me here, it would be to guard your heart. It would be to guard your heart. Choose to plant yourself in Jesus. Choose to seek Him. Choose to pursue Him. Choose to talk like Him. Choose to act like Him. Choose to touch people's lives like Him. And He will see that, and He will empower you to do the things that you don't even fathom, the things that you don't even believe are possible. Choose to embrace the love and the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Guard your heart. Choose not to feed your heart and your mind with the things of this world. Amen. When you see and hear garbage, call it out. Man, when Haley sent me the friend video for last week that you all got to see this morning and everything else, when she sent it to me, there's the one guy in there who says, I'm not sure I'm the best person to do this and everything else, but a friend is the one who calls you out on your crap. When I first heard that, there was a little bit of shock value to it. And I was like, wait a minute. I rewinded it. I listened to that again. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm with him. Man, a good friend's going to call you out on your crap. Amen. They're going to say that we need to be focused on Jesus. And yeah, here again, the preacher's saying crap from the pulpit. And I'm that guy, guys. If for those of you visiting, I'm just kind of real that way. Amen. And everything, because there's a lot of crap out there, a lot of garbage out there. And what do you do with garbage? You let it sit around the house and stink it up? Huh? No, what do? You take it outside, right? You get it out, right? Well, I'm telling you the same thing about your life. Telling the same thing about your hearts, amen? When the garbage is there, when the crap is there, call it out and get it out of your life. Move it out. Plant yourself in Jesus Christ. And let him take your life where He prepared it to be. Amen? You want to know how you walk in your calling? You seek out your talents. You seek out the things that you do better than everyone else. You seek out the things that instinctively were part of your makeup. And you start to lay those at His feet and you start to ask Him, how can I serve You with this? You gave me this talent. You gave me this thought. You gave me this ability. You gave me these things. How do I start to serve You with them? How do I do heavenly things here on earth with the things that You prepared me for? Amen. And when you choose to take up that cross, and you choose to lose yourself in who Jesus is and was. He ain't changing. He ain't changing for you or me. When you choose to lose yourself in Him, He will start doing powerful things in your life. He will see that your success comes. Not for worldly things, not for money. Some of that does come along the way. Sometimes it doesn't. Amen? And that's okay. As long as you're glorifying Him, because you're promised so much up there that it don't matter what you get down here. So pursue Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all of His glory, and he will add all these things to you, the things that are needed. Right? Most of us would sit here and say, I can't do it. Most of us would sit here and say, not possible. Most of us would sit here and say, oh, well, that's too scary. Amen. Poor Bethany. She's got a whole group of ladies that won't ever stand up front. At our Christmas Eve service and everything else, we wanted them to all read in unison this little thing. I think she got two people to help her. Amen. And I was even going to let them sit back there. They didn't even have to come up front. Right? I'm just picking. Okay? I'm not judging. I'm just playing. I'm picking. Okay? I get it. Hey, I had two really dark years of life because I didn't want to be standing here doing this. Okay? Two really dark years. And so I get it. But what I'm saying to you is when you choose to forget man and place yourselves into the hand of Jesus, he's going to do wonders with you. He's going to do the things that you can only dream about. Amen? And I'll tell you guys the same thing that I told our leadership team and everything else last week. Dream big. Pray big. If you're going to dream big, pray big. Pray big and walk in it. Walk in it. Believe in the power manifested from heaven to do the things in your life that you believe God is calling you to do. And you'll see it come to fruition. Now, you choose to do it man's way, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall, you're going to crumble, you're going to be that piece of vegetation in the desert that really has no worth. Amen? And it will bring you, you know, you may have fleeting moments of glory, but it's only short-lived because it's worldly. Amen? So I encourage, man, I need Gina here every week. And we're getting on it together, girl. I like it. Amen? So what we got to find out is where we're called to be, and then walk in it. Find out where you're called to be, just like you guys did up here this morning. Walk in that, man. Walk in it. Amen. Let God use you. Let God make a difference in you. I don't care if that's baking banana bread for Friends Sunday, or if it's preaching a message, or if it's talking to people about the love and the goodness of Jesus on the street. Amen. And I don't mean out there shaking fingers at them and making them feel like they're garbage. Amen. That's not preaching. Amen. Because if we don't present Jesus Christ in a way of love, we've missed the point. Huh? If we don't present Jesus in a way of love, we've missed the whole point. We need to start at John and start over. Amen. No, I mean shaking people's hands on the street, loving them, praying for them. Amen. Investing yourself into seeing that they become what God has called them to do. Amen. I'm rambling now, so I'm gonna close. But I hope you understand. I hope you understand that we're in a place where we are standing in the presence of the Almighty. There's none bigger, right? We get excited. I was talking with Principal Schock in here yesterday about I saw this ball player, and we had some cool moments, man. We shared some cool things and everything else, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But what I want us all to understand is we're standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this place. It gets no bigger. It gets no bigger. And so what you are challenged to do is you're challenged to take everything inside of you. Take that heart that is evil. Take that heart that Jeremiah told us is wicked. Ridiculously wicked, man. I mean, he painted a hard picture. Take that heart. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. Pray and fast and delve into His Word. I mean, I don't care what your talent is. You need to delve into His Word. You want to exercise Jesus in an anointed way? You got to let His Word become alive in you. Amen? So delve into His Word. Pray, fast, delve into His Word. Prepare, practice. Amen? That's what, when they were talking about how nervous they were, I said, it's easy. Prepare. Put the work in. Amen? Put the work in. Spend the time. Put the work in. Amen. And then when you stand up, and I do this every time. I don't care if I've studied 5 hours. I don't care if I've studied 50 hours for a message. Every time I stand up for that seat and I walk up here, I am praying to Him and saying, I've done everything You've told me to do to prepare for this. I've studied every scripture. I've run every resource. I've done everything possible according to this message You've asked me to do. It's Yours now. It's Yours now. Because what happens up here, I don't want to be about me. I want it to be about Him. I want it to be about what He's doing in your life and what He wants to do in your life. And I want it to do great things. I want it to do great things. Amen. So let's stand as they come and they get ready to sing to us this morning. And they're going to sing an altar call to us, and then they're going to sing that last song again to us too, and let loose on it. Just go, okay? But before we do that, if you're here this morning and your heart is in a place where you don't sense the glory of God, your heart, your mind, your actions, your deeds, they're not in a place that if you were standing eyeball to eyeball with Him that you would feel like you've put your best foot forward. Maybe you're here this morning and you've talked harshly to someone who needed love. Maybe you're here and man, the world's just weighing down on you. Maybe you're here and man, your heart is heavy and you're just hurting, and because of it, you're doing things that you don't want to do and you regret it later. Maybe you're here this morning and you know, you've been hurt so many times, or you've been let down so many times that you choose just not to invest yourself anymore because you've lost faith in yourself, let alone faith in God. I want you to know this morning that we can bring an end to all of that. And it all ends when we take that heart, whatever it is, whatever has moved it away from the glory that He extends to you, whatever that is, you take it and you lay it at His feet. And you say, I don't want to be this anymore. That's the prayer I prayed at my bedside. I said, I don't want to be this guy anymore. I want to quit running. I want to quit hiding. I want to quit pretending. I don't want to preach, but if that's what you want, I'll be the guy. I'll do it with your help. I just don't want to feel this way anymore. I just don't want to act this way anymore. And so I take my wickedness. I take my evil. I take my doubt. I take my fear. I take my hate. I take my division. And I lay it at your feet, Jesus. I lay it at your feet. And I ask you to do glorious things with it from this point forward. I promise to pursue, and I promise to just make you number one. So take me, Lord, as they sing.